glass, and as she watched, the last sliver of glass disappeared beneath the waves. The car was sinking. Her heart crashed inside her chest, then tried to climb her throat as she thrashed toward the space between the bucket seats. If her babies were back there, she had to get them out now. She would wake Bree and Wes. They could help her get the little ones to safety. She caught a fuzzy glimpse of Wes's blonde head and limp body as she threw herself between the bucket seats. Oh, God, he wasn't moving. Neither was Bree, who was hanging forward against her seatbelt beside her brother, her bronze hair shadowing her face. Jillian swiped the haze from her eyes, only to freeze as her vision cleared and the back of the van came into view. The black fuzz blanketing her mind dissipated like thinning smoke, and the memories flooded in. A shrill, keening scream broke from her, and then another, and another, and another.
No, no, no!
The cough of guns, her babies crumpling. Blood, so much blood, a river of blood.
No, no, no!
A blow to her head, another to her heart. Agony, falling into a tunnel of black.
No, no, no!
Somewhere in the distance, a woman screamed. Broken shrieks of grief, of horror, of unimaginable loss. Why? Why had they done this? The very heart of her shattered, broken into a billion irretrievable pieces. Why? Amid the ruins of her soul, vengeance stirred, forged her existence into deadly purpose, a raw, pressurized force that sought only revenge. The scream snapped off in mid-shriek. Methodically, she backed through the space between the bucket seats and used the neck rest to pull herself up. Balancing on the driver's seat, she reached for the edges of the moonroof. Her babies were dead. They'd been dead long before those bastards had strapped them into the van and sent them to this watery grave. If she remained in the van much longer, she'd join them. Except she couldn't join them. Not yet. She had to get out of the van. She had to survive. And then she'd find them. Every last one of them. She'd find them, and one by one, she'd make them pay. Chapter 1, July. Lieutenant Marcus Koski-Simkoski held back a grimace as his mother straightened the trio of medals decorating the left breast of his naval dress whites. Relax, Mom, he said calmly as he shifted his weight over his crutches. It's just a hearing, nothing to worry about. Marion Simkoski patted his chest and stepped back, but worry still clouded her gray eyes.
That's what you and the boys keep telling me, dear, she sent him a shrewd smile. So why is half the fleet parked on the courthouse steps in their dress whites?
It was hardly half the fleet, more like all 124 of his brothers from SEAL Team 7 and another 100 or so from his sister teams, the SEALs who weren't out on rotation. They'd started arriving on the steps of the Seattle Federal Courthouse an hour before he, Rawls, and Zane had arrived. That immediate and unconditional support was team life. Your brothers always had your back, even against the United States government. Marion shot the closed grand jury doors an anxious look, her silver hair almost glowing in the cloistered light of the courthouse hall.
I wish you boys had taken Amy's advice and hired an attorney.
They'd considered hiring an attorney, for advice anyway, since legal counsel wasn't allowed during grand jury testimony. But hell, in the end, it wouldn't have made a difference. They weren't going to plead the fifth. They hadn't done anything wrong. Lieutenant Seth Rawlings, who looked too damn pretty with his dress whites playing up his blue eyes, touched Marion's elbow.
All they did was ask a fair amount of questions, he said in his most soothing southern drawl. Nothing to get all worried about.
Rawls had testified before the grand jury first, and judging by his tousled blonde hair, the experience hadn't gone as slick as he claimed. His whitewashing was fine with Koski, though. Mom had been worrying about him nonstop since she'd arrived at Sacred Heart's emergency room 3 months earlier to find him half dead. Hell, truth be told, she'd been worrying about him since he joined the teams, although she'd never admit it to him. Just as she'd never admitted her fear all those years his dad had patrolled the streets of Federal Way